This is the Better Reading Podcast platform with stories behind the story, Jane's Be Better podcast, My Book Chat with Caroline Overington, and more. Looking for a particular podcast? Remember, you can always skip to it.
Hi everyone, I'm Jane Tara and I'm chatting to authors and experts about their self-help, wellness and personal development books. If you're looking for ways to be happy, be well and be inspired, you've come to the right place. Welcome to Better Reading Be. Simone Callaghan is a well-known Australian yoga teacher from Melbourne whose wellness journey was instrumental to her healing process when her marriage ended very publicly and also helps her embrace getting older. Now, Simone is determined to guide and support others in their search for inner peace. Her book, Growing with Grace, explores the power of self-care, resilience, bravery, and positivity. She also shares the skills she's learned as a qualified yoga instructor, skills that have transformed her physically and emotionally. I loved this book, so I'm thrilled to be talking to her about it today. Simone, welcome to Be Better.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on Be Better.
Oh, look, I was thrilled to get this book. It's a book that you read all at once, but then you just keep delving back into it. You go back and you read another little bit and you explore the concepts that you've got in that part of the book. And it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a gorgeous gift book for girlfriends. And I love it. And I love the title, you know, because grace is something that I'm learning as I'm getting older, to give over to it, to be it, to find it in myself and in others. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, the inspiration for the book and how, why you decided to sit down. Now's the time to sit down and write it.
The timing just aligned when the email came in from Emma, from Simon and Shrishta. I'd had requests in the past to do books, but I just never felt that I wanted to share my journey. I love sharing yoga. I love sharing goodness, but I never thought that I would be putting pen to paper and having my own little read of how I do, how I live, how I be. So it felt right. And I had lots of chats with my kids and my friends and family, and they all said, look, you've got to do a book. Have to share your journey and share what you do and your love for yoga. You know, so many people, you know, love what you do and you inspire so many. And by doing a book, it's all there for people to learn how to have the tools to do it themselves as well.
I follow you. I've followed your journey on Instagram with yoga and find it really inspiring. But I think as you get older, you make a conscious choice to be. I noticed you just used the word be, and this is, you know, be better. to be, because you can't make other people change.
No.
You can be a reflection for other people, and you can just be the change that inspires others to explore things. And I think that, you know, following your journey, you've done a really good job of that. And it comes across in every page of the book. It's like a partnership with the reader rather than kind of telling them how to be.
I've never been not a dictator, but I've never been someone that has wanted to say you've got to do this or you've got to do that. It's just about sharing goodness. And from my experience, I tried to put across how I've had the tools and how I've done the work and how my yoga journey has helped me live the way I live.
So talk to me about going back and the moment that you started your personal development journey. There's sort of a period or a moment for all of us. I can remember, you know, I read Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb when I was in my very early 20s and I was living in Japan, and it just was an eye-opener for me, and it opened the doors for a decades-long journey for me. So what was it for you? What was it? What was the turning point for you?
I can't remember, like, how you asked the question, that there was one moment. I think with yoga, for me, from my first practice, I knew that I'd connected with something deeper than myself and just a physical practice. I'd seen how people live in India and how they're so devoted to themselves and to, you know, a higher being, a higher power. And I love that. And I really resonated with that life. And I always loved India. So I knew India was the home of yoga. So when I came back to Australia, I searched out a yoga studio, and pretty much from that first class, something triggered inside that made me feel like, oh, this is something that I really enjoy and something that I need. It wasn't just the physical practice. It was the Shavasana at the end. It was the words from the teacher that really connected with how the body can be a force for good and how you've got to feel it to heal it. And, you know, the practice that I lucky enough fell into was an Iyengar practice, which is a very traditional practice. Mm. And you pretty much you hold the poses and you really feel the poses and you can't be anywhere else. Your mind can't go anywhere because you're aligning with the pose and you're feeling the pose in the body, and it really resonated deep within, and it was a hard practice, but mm-hmm. I think I needed that because it was just a real time in my life where I needed to probably build strength and get stronger because I was going through a lot. I was a young mum. Mm. I was a wife to Shane that was traveling the world and that was very much on the move all the time. Mm. And I'm a person that's more introverted, that likes to be grounded. And I grew up in market gardens and in farm where I had lots of space, but I also had my time where I could just, you know, be on my own. And I felt I'd lost a lot of my authentic self just growing up and having children and being a wife. So when I found yoga, I really found a piece of me that I really was missing, which was the quiet time of just having space for myself.
I totally relate to that, and I think a lot of women will, because, you know, we become all these other roles and lose sight of ourselves.
And it's not even a role, it's our nurturing force that we have, you know, deal with us as a
and you've got to aim it back on yourself. You've got to nurture yourself so you can give to others.
When you become a wife and a mum, you lose that because you're so focused on nurturing and looking after them that you sort of forget about, you know, your own self-worth and taking care of yourself, because you're taking naturally, you just want to look after others.
Yes. Yeah. I found that I do yoga as well, but I found it in my meditation practice, and it took many, many years for me to find the meditation style that I felt like was a homecoming. And I can hear in what you're saying, it was like it's like a homecoming when you find that spiritual practice.
Yes, that space.
Yes. Yeah. And so in the beginning of your book, and you are sitting, and the listeners can't see this, but I see that you're sitting outside while you're talking to me. And in the introduction of the book, you say, "Growing with Grace reflects on how a childhood spent outdoors helped shape my appreciation for nature and why it has a deep connection with my well-being." And throughout the book, there are stunning photos as well that really reflect your connection to the Australian outdoors. Yes. Yeah, so talk to me about that.
Well, from a young age, I you know, as I said earlier, I grew up amongst market gardens and patches and farming, where I was lucky enough to spend my childhood, and being a childhood that was, you know, built in the 70s, where we had bikes and skates and skateboards, and we were always outside, and we didn't have to come inside until the streetlights went on, and then we're back outside until it was dark, and then we'd have to come home, and that was our life, and that was, you know, what my childhood was being outdoors, you know, catching tadpoles, going fishing, you know, looking in people's market gardens, seeing what they've got growing and what I could feed my rabbits and my budgies, you know, from the market. And I loved being outside. I loved being in nature. It was just a real blessing for me to have that. And every summer we'd make our way down the Mornington Peninsula, which was a couple of hours from where I lived. And, you know, we'd spend all day on the beach that was my joy of, you know, having 6 weeks just being on the beach. And it's just something that I've always loved, and I've always instilled that in my kids, because I knew how much joy that I used to have from just being outside. And I always had the kids outside, and I believe that's why they were such good sleepers when they were young, because we were always doing things outside, you know, going for walks, going to the park, just finding places to be where we could be outside.
Mm. Now, in your book, you talk about a morning routine. So you set the tone for the day, and I do this as well. And I think it's a real game changer when you start on a journey like this, that even if you forget about, you know, being centered throughout the day, if you've started your day in a certain way, then over time it starts to extend throughout your day and throughout your life. It really can change your life. So talk to us about your morning routine.
My morning routine is really important to my emotional health, because I really believe that our mood sets the tone for our whole day. And if our emotional health is strong and we have, you know, good habits, that tells our mind that everything's okay. So really our emotional health is feeding our mental health. Mm. And it's also good for, you know, me physically, because I wake up, you know, I have a little glass of, you know, lemon in water, and then I'll go outside, and whether it's hot or cold, I'll just feel the elements, you know. I'll listen to the birds singing early in the morning. I'll look for the sun to be rising. You know, I'll feel the air on my face. You know, I'll do some movement. I'll go for a walk with the dog. And that really sets the tone for just being amongst nature. You know, it has such healing properties, just being outside and grounding and just listening and looking around and being grateful for what I have around me, and it makes me feel good.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
To start the day in the gratitude practice,
yes,
is so important, I think. And it's also a really great way to retrain your brain.
Yes, without you even knowing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, to however it is to incorporate that gratitude in. My morning routine is very similar to yours. So I was reading it and really resonated with it, because I do the same, you know, lemon water. And then I get out and I walk my dog in a beautiful place. Like I'm so grateful to be living where I do in Sydney with an incredible view, you know, just to be on my morning walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it really sets the tone for the day. And I think it's a great starting point also in your book to be getting people to consider how they start each day in a wellness practice.
Yes.
So what else do you do personally throughout the day that, you know, you incorporate? So you start the day in a certain way, but sometimes we can get really, really busy. So are there any other things that you mostly maintain, you know, throughout your busy schedule?
Well, in the mornings, I make time for my yoga practice. Mm-hmm. So even if it can't be a long practice, I always make time to just, even if it's, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes, I always make sure that I'll get up early enough so I have time to do some movement and walk my dog and then do my yoga and then do some meditation and journaling. That's just, I don't really do anything else until I've done all that.
Mm. Talk to me about your journaling.
Journaling, I've always, from a young age, I've kept diaries and journals. And then when I started yoga, I would always write down the practices that I did because I was really fascinated with, you know, what different parts of the body did when you moved it a certain way or different poses that you held, what the benefits of that were and little tips that the teachers would give me. So I would always have stacks of books that I would write in because I always just love writing and I'd sometimes, you know, I'd journal. Well, it wasn't a regular thing then because I had diaries and I'd kept diaries and I always used to use them when I was younger just as a bit of fun to write in them and that just became a habit. So then I've always had journals. It's not something that I have to do every day, but I enjoy even if it's just writing about, you know, what I'm grateful for or what I'm manifesting or what I want to do. Just having like a little sort of, you know, a little journal time. I don't think there's a more honest practice that you can have for yourself. You know, you're really accountable when you write something down. And it's always been that way for me. And I like to actually, I've actually got rid of a lot of my journals. Like sometimes I'll just burn them. And it's quite a, I really like the sacredness of being able to just, you know, throw something in the fire and just watch it burn.
I have a chimney out the back and under a full moon in winter I have been known to do that.
Yes, and it's amazing the amount of women that I've spoken to that do that.
Yes.
I thought I was a bit weird doing that, but I remember reading from a long, long time ago that it was a real sort of spiritual practice that the American Indians used to do. You know, they'd be writing even on pieces of bark, but then that would be their wishes and they would burn them and that would then resonate and turn into what they were trying to manifest. And that always fascinated me and I'm like, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, I've even done that with my kids, you know, and we just, you know, that make that wish and let it go out to the universe. So
talk to the universe. That's what I always tell the kids. Speak out loud so it can hear you what you want.
Yeah, be very clear. Be very clear. I always say that, you know,
always has to be clear.
And then the divine builds it. We design it, the divine builds it.
And it's always listening because do you find sometimes when you think about someone or you might talk about someone and then all of a sudden you'll get a message from them or you'll get a, you know, something that's like, oh, my God, I just was talking about you or I was just thinking about you. You
know, I love the flow of that, the synchronicities and the flow of those types of things as well. I find it, I call it breadcrumbs with the universe actually because I find that they're just little reminders that, you know, the bigger things are being taken care of as well.
Yeah, faith in the universe.
You do write about manifesting here and I love that. So talk to me about manifesting and what that means to you because it really is, it's a buzz term, but at the same time, there's so much science behind it. I recently spoke to, I don't know whether you've heard of Tara Swart, who is she wrote The Source and she is a neuroscientist. So she talks about manifesting from a neuroscience perspective and just how the brain works and how we value tag information and we can draw experiences and things that we can create our lives.
Yes.
So talk to me about how you co-create in your daily life.
I don't manifest every day, but I do talk to the universe every day, like even if it's as like saying thank you to my chickens for the eggs, you know, or waking up and thanking the universe for the sunlight, for being here, for being in this moment, for having what I have and being blessed with three children or, you know, thinking about something that I'd like to do, you know, so I keep reminding myself this is, you know, this is what I would love to do, this is what I would love to share and speaking out loud, like I'm not afraid to speak out loud to the universe and talk to the universe, even if it's, you know, about something, just getting it out there, putting it, turning it into energy, so then it can be part of, you know, what you want to sort of manifest.
I agree. You've got to have a relationship with it and co-create and be very clear about what you want. And I think that going back to your journaling, that's a part of it as well. Like, I will find that life can get very busy and then I get to a certain point and I just clear a whole weekend. And during that weekend, I will journal or I will, and I double my meditations just to realign, you know, and I vision board or whatever it is. And I just kind of get it all back clear and I feel energetically, I'm aligned again.
Nice.
And then I'm, there's no contraction there. Like I'm lifting. And then I'm off again and here we go again. Yeah.
Get all the energy to reset it.
Yes. Yeah. So do you have any other manifestation practices that you do? It's just that the talking that you have and
And I have like a board where I'll stick things on a board, or if I've been somewhere and it gave me a lot of joy, or, you know, I have photos of the kids in different places and I'll just have them as little sort of triggers and reminders that, you know, this is a happy place and this is what I've done, what I'd like to do.
So you must be really happy with how the book is designed. It's beautiful. It is really beautiful. And it's kind of an eclectic sort of, it's your writing, some diary entries, beautiful photos. Yeah.
It's almost like a storybook.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And so what do you hope that readers will take away from your book? What are you hoping for that?
It's actually not that hard to have a self-care practice and to know how important it is to have time for yourself and to reflect, but also to be able to be grateful for what you have and to be in the moment and have the tools to learn that we all should have time for ourselves. You need the time. It's just not going to be there for you to do it. You have to make the time. And it's really simple practices that everyone can do, and those practices become habits. It's part of my day. I know this is what I have to do, and I do it because it's I'm a work in progress. And you know, if I want to feel strong, and if I want to look after myself, I have to do the work. You know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and that's really important to me.
And the work is joyful too. You know, sometimes it's tough going, but it's joyful. I find that it's like I'm on an adventure.
We all have our little journeys that we're, you know, creating.
And so it's called Growing with Grace. What does grace mean to you?
Learning to just be with myself and to be true to who I am and be my best authentic self that I can be. I don't think grace is something that you can learn or attach to. I think it's something just comes from your being and how you are and how you present yourself in the world. And I think for me, I feel a lot of grace when I practice. And it's almost when I'm practicing my yoga, I feel like there's a higher power that I feel. And I just felt that I'm trying to grow and be a better person as I grow, because I think it's really important for me to stay strong and keep building on, you know, being a good mum, because being a mum is my number one priority. And it's really important that I'm here for the kids.
Yes.
So I want to just do the best I can, and through being the best I can and keep growing and keep learning and keep doing the work, I can hopefully, you know, grow with grace as I get older. And, you know, I'm getting older. I know that I'm open to that, but if I can grow with grace and keep learning and keep being open to, you know, new things coming into my life and, you know, having acceptance and knowing that, you know, you can't be attached to anything, you know, because things happen. You know, we all have suffering, we all have obstacles, and learning that nothing is permanent. And that's, you know, all part of being, you know, graceful in what you have and what you want to bring into the lot, to the world with your energy?
Simone Callahan, you are grace. Your book is beautiful. It really is. Congratulations. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for talking
to me. Thank you. Namaste.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you enjoyed this podcast, leave us a review and check out the other podcasts on the Better Reading Network.